Rabbi Moshe Steinberg.
Hi. That's a new thing. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. The they didn't have one of those at Matan Torah, which is probably just as well. Some of you might feel it would have been a great idea to have one of those at Matan Torah. We have a mitzvah, I say, you know, this was Shabbos, Parshas Yisroi, so when you sit down to your Shabbos dinner, you've got a mitzvah deraisa, one of the Tariag mitzvahs according to Ramban, to give over the events of Matan Torah. That's a pasuk in Vayeschanan. Raki shomel achosh me nafshecho ma'oid. Be very, very careful. Pentishkach es advarim esharoi necho, lest you forget the things you saw. Penyosuru milvavcho koyimei chayecho. Veidatom levo necho velivnei vo necho. So in Sefer Mitzvot the Rambam, reckons out all the assays, the mitzvahs assay, and mitzvahs lois assay. So the Ramban at the end reckons out the ones that he feels that the Rambam has forgotten. And he writes that one of the lois assays that the Rambam forgot was this posuk, he shomelocho, ushomenafsha b'chot ma'oi, pentishkach ezvorim. You have a lois assay not to forget Matan Torah. In Chidushim on Devorim, he writes also it's an assay. Vodatom levonecho levnei vonecho. So when you sit down to dinner, Shabbos, you talk over the tomato, you could say in the Mukhuzim Lekai and Mitzvahs Lois assay and Mitzvahs assay of Vodatom levonecho. Pentishkach said Devorim. Shmoir, Shmira in the Torah always means a Lois assay. In Sefer Mitzvot, he doesn't bring the assay, which I'm not sure why. He only brings the lois assay. It's totally a little bit on the machlokes. You know, in the Torah says b'shomarto, so shaila, it's a lois assay normally, like b'shomarto zachuk hazos l'mayad or miyom yomimo, which is a lois assay, not to put on tefillin by night. Right. The word Ishomer in pen introduces a lois assay. But actually in Menachos there are those, there's a pin in the Gemara that when they're talking about an assay, Ishomer actually means an assay as well. The Ramban, by missing out the Idatum Levonecho, seems to the mitzvah assay of Idatum Levonecho, seems to miss the Paskin the other shitter. Which is a bit difficult because Rashi Mishpatim, Rashi Mishpatim says, "B'chol asher amati aleichem tishomeru." In Mishpatim Chaf Gimel Yud Gimel, he says, "B'chol asher amati aleichem tishomeru." Rashi says to give you a lois assay for every assay. That means a person doesn't put on tefillin; he's done a lois assay for not putting on tefillin. The Ramban says, "No, if it's talking about an assay, then tishomeru means an assay." Here he doesn't. In the mitzvah of taking over Matan Torah, he doesn't say that. That's just to explain the mitzvah. Okay, but there's definitely one of the tariag according to the Ramban. This mitzvah is not so easy to keep. Taking over what happened at Matan Torah, it's not an easy mitzvah to do. If you now think about Matan Torah, we don't know very much about what happened. If you think about the details, well, I'll tell you the things we don't know. We don't know what the date of Matan Torah is, like it is tonight. We don't know the day, although the Morris says everybody says Shabbos, there's definitely an opinion it was Friday. We don't know the hour. We don't know the length of the Maimed, 2 hours, 3 hours. How long does it all last? We don't know how they stood. Did they stand shvotim? Did they stand husbands and wives together? Oh, the Crane wanted, there are some fortune wants to suggest, but the Torah doesn't tell anything. How they stood, how far from the mountain. We don't know which mountain it was. I mean, you know, there are theories today which mountain, but we don't really know. We don't know what was on the mountain or how high it was. No, 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 where it is. Where, which mountain it was. Today, we don't know which mountain. How soon, yeah, they think they know, but, you know. It's, we don't know. I mean, there's loads of things we don't really know about the whole story of Matan Torah. When did the Shekhinah come down? It's Machlokes Tanaim as well. You know, look at Rashi at the end of Mishpatim. How many Dibros did they hear? 2 or 10? Was it sort of prophecy? Because I mean, the Rambam says that when a person gets cast prophecy, he lies down on the ground, he loses all senses. But they seem to be standing, which was only the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what exactly? All right, but so we don't know. There's a lot of details we really don't know about. How they were dressed? Were they dressed as Egyptians? They wore smallest. They took the smallest mitzrayim. But it's not as posh that they wore dressed as Egyptians. There's a very lot that we're missing. When did they get them on that day? Etc.
The Shabbos
is
easy.
If it was Shabbos, yes, that makes it easy. Yes, that's nice. Yes. All right. So, all right. The Ramban says, you know what you talk about? You talk about the Koleis and the Lapidim. The thunder and the flames. Well, actually, the thunder's a bit difficult because Chazal, the Torah says they saw the thunder. That's a bit difficult to explain. Kol ha'omrim es ha'koleis. So that's a bit hard to give over. We saw thunder. Okay, they presumably heard it as well. The Lapidim, they saw flames. That's hard to understand because we're told that there was Cheshech Onon Varofel, darkness, cloud, and thick darkness on the mountain. And then there was fire. But if there's darkness, thick darkness, and clouds all round, how did they see the fire? So was the fire above, round? It's very difficult to know exactly how the fire was. All right, so the Ramban says, we saw Kvoido. We saw the Kvoid of Hashem. That means he came down on Har Sinai in front of it. Oh, that's already more explicit. Right? Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu in advance, ki, right, ki v'ayim ha-shishi yered Hashem le'enei kol hom al Har Sinai. And that's how it was.
Says they saw the sound waves.
Saw the sound waves. Okay, that's your explanation of what they saw the Koleis. Maybe, you know, I don't know what sound waves look like, but you're fair enough. What sort of, you know, like those? I don't know. Yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, okay. It's hard to describe. So, but that we do know. Vayeyud Hashem al Har Sinai. Hashem came down on Har Sinai Rosh Hashanah. Oh, they saw Kvoido. But that's also a bit difficult. Because straight after Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Atem ri'isem, Hashem says to Moshe, you saw kimina shomayim dibarti imochem, I spoke to you from heaven. But Hashem came down Har Sinai. So Rashi asked the Kasha. Rashi asked, it's a contradiction. Here it says, Hashem came down on Har Sinai, and here it says, Atem re'isem, kimin ha'shamayim dibarti imochem. So Rashi brings two answers. One's from the Mechilta, one's from Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, the fire was on earth, but the voice was from heaven. That's how Rashi gives the first terrors of Rashi, which is also very difficult to fit into the psukim in Vayeshanan. Because in the psukim in Eschanan, it's clear the voice came from the mountain. By Dabe Hashem Aleichem Mitocho Eish, from the fire. That's the claw, and later on it says, Ponim Beponim Dibe Hashem Ochem Bohor. Face to face he spoke to you on the mountain. Mitoch Ha'ish. Right? So it's clear that he says he spoke from the fire, from the mountain. They heard the voice from the darkness, and the mountain was in fire. Very difficult to know exactly how they saw the fire with the darkness. So, Rabbi Shmuel says it's very difficult to understand how it fits into the Pesukim Me'eshana. But Rashi brings a second answer from Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva says like this, Hirkin Shomayim V'Shmea Shomoyim, the Bein Shalom bent down the heavens and the higher heavens, V'Tzion Al Hohor, and he set them out on the top of the mountain. And Rashi actually earlier on in Vayered Hashem Al Har Sinai is even more astounding. He says, "V'tzion agabei ha'or kematzo al hamita," like a mattress, or like a sheet. "V'yorad kisei hakoved alehem," and the kisei hakoved came down on the mountain, on this shemayim. But we should put the heavens down like a sort of bed on the top of the mountain, and he sat on that. Which, of course, is all very difficult, an anthropomorphism, but what, very, very hard to explain and understand. Hirkin, he bent over the mountain, the heavens, he bent down the heavens. Hirkin, says Rabbi Akiva, which is very difficult to understand, sort of, you know, was a piece of heaven, was a bit of blue. I mean, what does it mean? He bent the mountain down on top of heaven. It's also very difficult for us to understand and explain. So one more thing the Ramban says, we should speak about Godlai. Speak about his greatness. And of course you all know that's the word, when we talk about Gdulas Hashem, we mean his chesed, his rachamim. First Brach of Shmones describes the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there already we have some understanding how we felt about HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Har Sinai. Rashi says, that Hashem, the Moshe Rabbeinu, took the people out. So Rashi says, like a chosen to meet a kala. Came towards them, and Moshe Rabbeinu took them like a kala towards the chosen. Now that already, there you can understand, already that's a feeling that we're familiar with, or we can know about. That means they felt they were like a bride going towards the chasen. That's what they felt. And Rashi and Moshe Rabbeinu says it again in Zos HaBrocha. Hashem Misinai Bo. He came like a chasen towards us. So that's very powerful. We understand a kala that's happy to get married. And she loves the chasen. When he comes to meet her and she's going towards him, the feeling is tremendous, the ecstasy, the pleasure, the happiness. That's what they felt on Har Sinai. That's what we have to give over. The British Shalom is like a great chosim, not just a chosim, it's a king of chosim. She was a bride and she was a poor bride and she was being invited by the great king. And that's already, of course, we all know, you see, so it's 30 days before Purim, within 30 days. So, Achashverosh, Ad chatzi ha-malchus v'seos, ad chatzi ha-malchus v'inosen loch, half my kingdom. So you've got this great king, and he's marrying a poor bride, and he says, half my kingdom's yours. And that's actually what happened. He gave us his Torah, the Torah which is in charge of the kingdom. That's what the Rishon gave us on Har Sinai. Shlomo HaMelech describes it even more. He says, Torah was like Yishokeini Meneshikos Piyu. It's like kissing. It's like the person kissing the color. That's how wonderful the feeling was of Matan Torah. Right, Rashi actually says there that it's going to happen again. That means when Mashiach comes, Bereshit's going to give us a feeling like that again by telling us, giving us understanding in the Torah. It will be again like that feeling that they had at Matan Torah. This is a good job Shlomo HaMelech says it. Anybody else say it, we'll get in trouble. Shokim Shikispio, the Moshe Rabbeinu Melech describes the tremendous feeling, the ecstasy of Klal Yisrael as a meeting at Kodesh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai. And if you want to understand it a bit better, there's a very good shiur on Shir HaShirim at 10 to 12 in Shari Torah every Sunday morning by my son. You know, Shir HaShirim needs a lot of Ian. But we'll just take the simple posuk. It's good to get the advertisement at the same at the right time. That's very nice. So that much we can describe. The trouble is, even that's getting a bit awkward, because what happens? We know, very nice. They were felt like a bride going towards God. Oh, wonderful, beautiful. But the Torah says, Vayechrat kol om asher b'machneh, they trembled. And the Pasuk says, "V'cholom roem esakleis vayonuom." Says Rashi, they trembled; they were shaking with fear. And the Hanan, it's even more explicit. Ki yireisim mideyoeish, she was scared of the fire. Which doesn't sound like much of a nice happening of chasna. Ki yireisim mideyoeish, and they. And then the Gemara in Bracha says, the Torah was given the reses, the vazir, was given with fear. They were trembling with fear. They fainted with fear. So that's that. Moshel mu'ad of a doima. You understand? A moshel to what went on here. Is as I said that Matan Torah was like a chosen meeting a kal. So the chosen, this is great king's got a palace, and the bride is being led by the courtiers to the king's palace. And he comes up from the palace to greet her, and she's ecstatic. She's been going to marry the great Chosen, and she walks into up the steps towards the palace. And the king says, "Half my palace is yours, Katsia Malchus." And she peers, and he opens the great doors of the palace, and she walks into the palace courtyard. And what does she see? 1,000 wild animals ready to tear her in pieces. That's what's happened. So it had this fear, tremendous fear. So how does that fit? How are we supposed to know what that means? How does that fit? Well, there's this tremendous love, Shokin Mishiko's Piyu, and at the same time there's a tremendous fear. How are we supposed to explain that? And the answer is, in one word, Rabbi Akiva told us, Hirukin, he bent the heavens down on Matan Torah, on Har Sinai. So that Ben Shalem actually made both feelings at the same time. Hirukin Shomayim v'shmei Shomayim al Har Sinai. That means he came down like a chosen to meet the Kala, but he brought the heavens with him. That brought that fear that we feel when we turn towards the heavens, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in charge of the world, and the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought that down with him, because both are needed in Matan Torah. You can't have one without the other. A person needs to know that Matan Torah inspired simultaneously two opposing feelings. Huge love and a huge fear. And it's nowhere nicely more interestingly illustrated, this concept, than in the story we read in Haftorah in Parshas Shemini. Parshas Shemini. I don't suppose Menachem David will ask me again to after Shemini, so I'll get it in now. Where David HaMelech brings the Oroin to Yerushalayim. And he's triumphant, and he's happy, and he dances in front of the Oroin, and there's some musical instruments, and he's jumping for joy, and Uzzah touches the Oroin and is killed. And David is devastated. I can't bring the Oroin to the Eastern Yerushalayim. I mean, it was a mistake, Uzzah. It was a great man, Uzzah. And he meant good. He thought the Oroin was shaking a bit, so he thought, better hold it. and he died for that accidental touch. Can't. So he put the Oroin in the property of Overdedum. Overdedum obviously had an estate. And on this estate lived Overdedum with his 8 married sons. And they put the Oroin in one of the buildings on his estate. Overdedum had 8 married sons and no grandchildren. Right? That's not very pleasant. And in those 3 months that the Oroin was there in Obed-Edom's property, all eight granddaughters, daughters-in-law, were expecting sextuplets. So he went from none to 48 in 3 months. Now, some people would say today sextuplets isn't such a great brocha, actually. 6 high chairs and 6 buggies. But those days it was considered a major... So David HaMelech heard that and he learnt something. Imagine how the people in Oved Edom's estate walked around with this Oroin in one of the buildings on his estate when they knew that Uzzah had died just for touching it. Uzzah was a great man, just touched it accidentally and it was killed. So they walked around with a fear in their hearts, with awe. The Oroin is here. Let's behave ourselves. We have to be careful. What do we do? And then came the bracha. So David HaMelech learnt that he'd gone about it wrong the first time. The first time he brought the Oroin towards Yerushalayim, he brought it with happiness, with dancing, with joy, with triumph. He said, no. I forgot the fear. So the second time, every few steps, they brought another Eilah. A few steps and an Eilah. A few steps, an Eilah is the common you bring when you want to bring pressure on yourself, the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So don't say, I understand now. The Oroin is a huge brocha, but it's only if you have both together. He didn't give up the joy. Right? He's still dancing, he was doing... What's it called? Somersaults in front of the Oroin. Not the ones when you go round sideways.
Cartwheels.
Cartwheels, that's right. We're doing cartwheels. It was still the joy he hadn't forgotten. But he mixed it with every few steps with an Eilah. Because you've got to have both. And Taka, when we go into shul in the morning, we Taka do both. We say both. Matevu oyholecho yakev mishkan isecho Yisrael. How beautiful are your tribes. I'm coming to Akash Brocha's house. How beautiful it is. And then you say, "Vani brov chastecho v'ibisach eshtach v'ashem ahelcha kodshecho beyirosecha." You have to have the two hargoshes together for the bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be chal. It's what they learned at Matan Torah. They had to have the fear and the love both together. That's what they learned. That's the lesson of Matan Torah. Chal Yisrael learnt so that. Like the Rol Godlei, when they saw the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saw a one, the same moment, it's hard to understand how that works, but they saw both things together. They felt both of them together. Yeah. But so when we say over the mitzvah of Matan Torah, Davidatan of Anecho, we can say over Taka the feelings that came over to them in Matan Torah. The feelings of love and at the same time the feelings of awe. But as I said, the details of what went on, we got very little knowledge of the actual details of how it all went. And I would like to suggest a Peshat. A new pshat as to why Taka, the Rebbeinu, does not give us all these details. There's a pasuk in Veschanan that seems to contradict what went on in Matan Torah. Just before the Tersa Dibros in Veschanan, Moshe Rabbeinu says like this, Anochi Omed Ben Hashem Veinechem. I was standing between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ba'esahi, Lahagid Lochem is Tevar Hashem. In other words, I was there on the mountain, you were at the bottom of the mountain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was at the top of the mountain. Right? Why was that? Says the Posuk, Ki yireisem mipnei ha'esh, because you were scared of the fire, v'loi alisem bohor, and you wouldn't, therefore you couldn't go up the mountain. Right? But that's not true, isn't it? They were told they weren't allowed to go up the mountain. They were chayv misif that went up the mountain. So why does the Posuk say, you were scared of the fire, and therefore you didn't go up the mountain? That's not the pshat. That wasn't why they didn't go up the mountain. They weren't allowed to go up the mountain, and that's why they didn't go up the mountain. Right? Is the Mephoshim asked this kasha attack? It's a shver kasha. How could Rosh Hashanah say this? You didn't go up because you were scared. The Netziv asks the kasha as well, the Shimshon Fol Hirsch asks the kasha, and they give answers. The Netziv says, even had it not been for the command not to go on the mountain, you still wouldn't have gone on because you were scared. Rabbi Shimshon Fol Hirsch says, you didn't even go as far as the Gavul you were allowed, you were so scared. Okay, so the trouble is, those answers are fine, but they don't really answer the story at all. Why? Because just before they went on, just before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, go down and tell the people again not to come on the mountain. Vayim Hashem al Moshe, raid, go down, hoivam, give, warn the people, pen yeresu el Hashem lirois, v'nafal mimenu rov, lest the people break through to see. And that lot will die. So, the Bnei Shalom told Moshe, no, you've got to tell them again, because they might. But you know, Bnei Shalom, they're so scared of the fire, they won't come anyway. If the fear of the fire was stopping them anyway, why was it necessary to tell Moshe to go down and warn them again? Elamai, they would have gone up. But the Apostle says they wouldn't have gone up because of the fire. You got to get a mitzvah for it. Yeah, but Chesbrock says, if you don't tell them, they might go up, and a lot of them will die. No, they won't. They're scared. Just by the way, over one side of Pshat, what does it mean, a lot of them will die? So Rashi says, even if one dies, that's a lot. Right, the Rashi here. Kol ma shipo mehem. Afilu yechid. Even if one man goes past the mountain to the mountain, choshev lefonai rov, is going to be like a lot. That's the kasha. What do you mean? How can Mekhash say that to Moshe Rabbeinu? If one dies, it would be a lot. It was only 3 months ago the Bernstein killed 6 million Jews. Yeah. Sorry, 8 million. 8 million. Yes, in the Me'ach HaYishech, 4/5 died. Oh, you think it might be only 4/5 according to the 600,000. Yeah, I would say there was probably 2 million Yidden, and therefore 4/5 would be 8 million. Okay, all right, 2.5 million. Yeah, we won't quibble. Right. In HaYishech, all right, just 3 months earlier, 2.5 million died. In 3 days. And now you're telling me, if one dies, it'll be very upsetting. Ah, come on. How's Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to expect that? How's Moshe Rabbeinu accept that? The Teretz, the Tzarbos say, the Teretz is the difference between before the Shidduch and after the Shidduch. It's like this. Before a Shidduch, if you hear that the suggestion for your daughter is, he's got a bit of a chalesa, a cough and cold, you start worrying, maybe he's prone to cold, or he's got a bit of asthma, oh, I don't know if I want the Shidduch. Once they're married, if lo chaleinu, whatever happens, you help them out. Because once they're married, that's it, it's done. Before Mechamchas Bechoros, before the Shidduch. Before the Shidduch, it doesn't matter who dies, because they're not my people. Once they're my people, everyone counts, right? Oh, it's just Poshit Pshat, but not on men or off. Of Elamaisa says, Shver, why was he, what's he worried about? They're going to be scared, they're scared to go up the mountain. They won't go. What's the problem? So I'd like to say a Pshat. It's my own idea. you can argue if you like, is that there's one word here. Pen yersu el Hashem lirois. Lest they break through to have a look, to see. Sightseeing, you're not scared anymore. Just have a look what's doing. Inquisitiveness. What's it look like? Ooh, what's behind that fire? Have a look round. Once you turn the Matan Torah into just what went on, I want to see what it looked like, you lose all the fear and all the awe, all the understanding. Matan Torah isn't something which meant to think of in terms of the picture. It is a good job we didn't have a video. Because Matan Torah is not all about, it's not at all about how it looked. What did people do? Matan Torah is all about how you felt about it. How you went to it, how you understood it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're good? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why they didn't have a video at Matan Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if they go up the mountain to see, they won't be scared. They'll run up the mountain. They'll lose the whole feeling for it. Peyerosu el Hashem lirois. You go to see. Right, first, you go to the castle. Ooh, big stones. When were they built? How big is it? How long is it? How tall is it? Ooh, we look down over there. And you've lost the whole feeling of awe. You're in the Mokum HaKodesh. There's a story, I think it's the Brisker Rav. I'm not very good with the story. Somebody's knocked on the door of Brisker Rav and I've come to see the Brisker Rav. He said, here you are. There I am. That's not... If you just go to see, you're not getting anything. Because Baruch said to Moshe Rabbeinu, if they want to just see, they'll go up on the mountain, they won't be scared at all. So the Torah does not give us the details of Matan Torah. The version does not write in the Torah all the how they did it, where they stood, what they did, when they went. Because those are details. The details of these sorts of details are not the sort of thing that will bring home the message of Matan Torah. Vaydatam levonecha levnei vonecha is to give over the feelings that they had towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What they felt, the avo and the yiro, the lessons they took, this bonus they took. That was what we need to give over to every day. And that, therefore, the Rishon says, miss out the details. So you won't know all the details. You know, you leave it unknown to you. Pen Yerusu el Hashem lirois. Lest they break through to see. That would be no good. Just to see would be no good. A video wouldn't have been any good for us. All right.